Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, I know that that the Lord has been really speaking to all of us, and we want to be able to share what, you know, God is saying. And as I was saying earlier about, it's okay. Understand that if you decide to follow God, drop everything. I mean, he may give you something else in regards, all of a sudden your occupation no longer becomes your purpose, but it becomes your provision for your purpose. And at that point, it's a whole different story at that point. All of a sudden, you're just trying to feed into resource what God has called you to do. Now your destiny is doing what God called you to do. Are you going to go through dilemmas and everything? Well, they went through boiling of oil, cut in two, cut asunder, hiding in caves, running for their lives, being chased down by a king named Saul. They went through a ton of different things. Went through 100 years of not being able to have children when God told them they were going to have a child. I mean, they went through a lot of different things, but the whole thing, they did it by faith. It's by faith, and they were willing to go and not look back, willing to go and not look back. And that's what we need. We need people, because just like I was explaining earlier, is that when I was at that picnic, I really thought these guys were, they looked forward and they were going to be there with me, but they thought back in their heart and they went back. And the truth is, if your heart is still in Egypt, and we're about to go in to take the promised land, the truth is, when you see the giants, you're going to run. When you see what's going to cost you, when you see that you know, you see David running to Goliath, you're going to be running behind the rocks. Mm-hmm. Because you haven't made up your mind. This is what God said. This is what I'm going to do. And my life is going to be a life of faith. I'm going to do it. And we are looking for men and women that have that heart to say, you know what? God tells me to drop my stuff and tells me to go. I'm going to go, and I'm not going to look back, and I am ready to do what God says. I want my name to be written in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. I want to be amongst those people, and I'm not going to be the ones that reminisce about all the things that used to be, what I gave up to be where I am today. Oh, I'd be making more money today if I would have stuck to selling crack. No, I'm sorry, a business. And it's like, come on, what are you doing? You're ruining your worship. You're talking about all that. When God's the one that gave you all that in the first place, and it's like, come on, it's time for us to say, you know what? I'm going to look forward. I'm going to do exactly what God said. And that's how this nation can turn around. It's time for us to begin to stand up for God. Mm-hmm. We got to stand up for God. I think about three men that decided they want to stand up for God. Three men in Daniel chapter 3, he talks about these three men. I'm going to say their name. I'm going to call them these three men instead of say their name over and over again. Their name was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three men that when everybody in all the entire nation was doing wrong, they were going to do right. Mm-hmm. They were going to do right. They weren't trying to make a big scene of it. They weren't trying to push their way on anybody. They were just personally, they made a decision that I'm not going to do what everybody else is doing. I'm going to stand up for God. And the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, which, by the way, God called his servant, even though he was an evil king. Long story short, God's people were in rebellion, so God gives them and puts them under an evil king called Nebuchadnezzar. And here they are under this evil king, and this evil king decides to be able to make this huge governmental program, golden image. And he says, everybody's got to sign up for this program. Everybody's got to bow down to this particular image. And they don't. Everybody else does. But these three guys said, we're not going to worship this in their hearts. You know, they're not saying, hey, everybody, you're evil. They didn't say, hey, you shouldn't be bowing down. Just personally, they made a commitment that I'm not going to bow down to what everybody in this entire nation is bowing down to. I am going to worship God and him only, but they just kept it to themselves. They weren't like broadcasting it or anything of that nature. Of course, there was this rat, this dude that sees what's going on, and he just thinks it's his job to go tell King Nebuchadnezzar, say, hey, almighty king, you know, kissing up to the king. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know there's three guys over here that I know you told everybody that they have to sign up for this program. I know that they have to bow down to this image, and they're not doing it. Mm-hmm. He got furious. What this rat told the king, I mean, he got furious. And so he calls these three guys to him. He calls them to him and he says, okay, listen, this is what you're being accused of. And they didn't even defend themselves. They didn't even defend themselves. And he says, there's a fiery furnace over here. It's fire. There's huge consequences for you not to sign up for this program. No. Mm-hmm. There's huge consequences for you not to bow down and use artificial intelligence. There's huge consequences for you not to buy into what everybody's buying into. There's huge consequences. I, the leader, have decided this is the way we're going, and everybody's bowing down to it, and you're going to bow down to it, too. If not, you're going to suffer these huge, painful, horrific consequences. We're going to throw you into this fiery furnace. I mean, how many Americans do you know right now? How many Americans do you know? How many Christians do you know in America, not outside of America, because I'm talking about in America, they would say, well, I'm not changing my mind.
Yeah.
You know, most I know is like, how hot is it? And is there any other way we could work our way through this? And how about if I just kind of look like to everybody else that I am, but in my heart I'm not? And besides, I'm just going to keep my faith to myself from now on. I'm not going to let anybody see. You think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure there's lots of, but I just don't know them.
Yeah, right.
You know, we got to say, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And so he threatens them. Imagine they can feel this heat from a furnace. And if you live in this city, you know what I'm talking about. These huge furnaces. You can picture those big things they burn the trash with, whatever, in the bottom of these big buildings and incinerators and all. And they don't. They don't bow down. They don't defend themselves, and they don't bow down. But they do say this. They say, listen, the God that we serve can deliver us from your ignorant self. No, our God can deliver us. They're very honorable. Can deliver us from all this. But even if he doesn't, this is how we stand. We're going to stand for God. We're not going to bow down to give in to something that's declaring itself as a God. Mm-hmm. We're just not going to do it because he says no other gods before him. Seven times worse. Make the consequences seven times worse. Raise their taxes. Take away their exempt status. Begin to break up marriage. Begin to take their kids from them. Seven times worse. Seven times worse. Make it worse. Make the fiery furnace was seven times hotter than it was originally. Listen, a fiery furnace was bad to begin with, but now it's seven times worse. And they didn't. They didn't bow down. And they said, listen, I'm going to bind you, tie your hands, and I'm going to throw you into this seven times worse consequences. We got to get a mindset today in our hearts that we are going to stand for God even if our God does not deliver us from the situation. It's not this old weird, twisted movement they're calling sometimes a faith movement that says if you say that, you say, but even if God doesn't, then God's not going to deliver you. It's like, dude, God's listening. He's smarter than you. He knows your heart. Right. He's not some combination on a safe, and he's no slot machine at a casino. He is God. He is alive and living, and he's watching. And to this point, they didn't see God. They believed God, and by faith, they trusted. They said, listen, I'm going to honor God. Even though they were in captivity for the consequences, more than likely, of what they'd already done in Israel, now they're under Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And even in we made all these mistakes. At some point, we can make a decision. I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm going to stand for what's right.
Mm-hmm.
Even if God does not deliver me, I am not going to let it be known of me that I bowed down to your stuff. Then all of a sudden, okay, fine. He's just maxed out. He is furious. He's been shamed in front of everybody. You know, it's three people. Then flip this king upside down. It's like three people. Really? Really? And so now he says he got his strongest soldiers. He had them tied up. Just think of the pain and the torment that these guys could be going through in their minds. How many people that hear the threats of the adversary, whose mouth he uses, people's mouths around you, that starts talking about all these seven times worse, and it's going to be all these consequences and just bombard you. And imagine, listen, somebody says, it reminds me of an officer that we were going to, a particular retired officer had lost it for a while and had barricaded himself in a house and taken a deputy hostage. And he had her against her, holding her by the neck. And he looked, he said to her this statement. He says, "I'm not going to kill you, but I may shoot you in the leg. I'm probably going to shoot you in the leg." I mean, just, it just, that's kind of worse. Hearing a statement like that is worse than, like, you know, "I'm going to die here," something about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so your mind just begins to mess with you. You know, when you start hearing that if you don't do this, you're going to have not only the original consequences, but now we pass new laws and new regulations where you're going to have seven times worse the consequences. It's just going to be horrific. What does that mean? Your reputation shot, your everything that you were going, everything's ruined. But it's like, I don't change. This is what I'm, this is how I'm going to stand. So he, the furnace is so hot that when these strongest soldiers take these three men and they tie them, and imagine the feeling of being tied. You know what they're going to do. I mean, at least if your hands weren't tied, you could move around a little bit. You know, the last move to your face or whatever you're hanging on to at the time. And that, but now their hands are tied. They're going to go through all this pain and torture and torment with their hands tied. And they go and to throw them into this fiery furnace on the orders of this king because they wouldn't bow down to this thing that everybody else was bowing down to. And it was so hot that the strong soldiers, just when the heat touched them, that they died. The soldiers that threw them in died. That's how hot it is. Quit. So many people are trying to live so hard that they never do. Until you're ready, you know, until you're ready to die for something, you're never ready to live. And these guys said, you know, even if God does not deliver us, and all of a sudden the king looked at the fire where the three men were in this fire and all these consequences, he's in jail now and he's lost his job now and he's in divorce or she's divorced and the kids are doing this and the economy's doing that and, you know, it's all bad and he's got wanted posters and all the whole thing's just crashing in on him. And the king looks at all these consequences. He looks into the fiery furnace and he goes, "Hey guys, hey, look. Didn't we throw three of these guys in there?" And they said, "Yes, we did." And he goes, "But there's four. I see four of them and they're walking around in the fire." The fire that killed the soldiers, the fire that killed the agents, you know, that killed the whatever, didn't kill these three men. And they were unbound and unharmed in the fire. And he said, there's someone like the Son of God walking around in the fire with them. Jesus showed up. See, God wasn't showing up until they were in the fire. So many people say, "Well, I don't see God in my life." Well, you don't go through nothing. And when you're about to go through something, you run like a scaredy cat and you start coming, "Oh my, I almost got burnt." And it's like, go through something. Go through something. And then when they get thrown into the consequences of them standing up for God, what was coming their way, that's when Jesus showed up and hit the power of God showed up in such a way that kept them from burning.
Right.
It didn't burn. It didn't burn. And in the context of that, they didn't even, it's just amazing. So he's going, "What's going on? What's going on?" So the very king that ordered him thrown into the fire looks in the fire and tells them, "Come out of there." Right? Is that crazy? Is that crazy?
Yeah.
Come out of the fire, this consequences that killed everybody else. It didn't kill you. Think about it. Listen, it's going to take time. We're going to have to begin to be like these three men. Despite why where we are, because we've done things wrong, we've repented, we've made things right, and now we're going to say, I'm going to stand for God. And he called these men out, and they walked out the fire. And when they walked out of the fire that destroyed everybody else, when they walked out of the consequences that were happening to them, it was not a figment of their imagination, it was happening to them. When they walked out of it, he said they did not have a singed hair on their body, they were unharmed, and they didn't even smell like smoke.
Wow.
This is what it's going to take. It's going to take men and women who are willing to stand for God. But see, it started with these men saying, "But even if he doesn't deliver me, it's wrong and I'm not going to do it. And even if I'm in captivity now because I did wrong, well, I repented and I'm not going to do that anymore. And I'm going to stand for God." And all of a sudden the king's talking to these guys and he's going, "Listen, oh my goodness." So the very king that was blaspheming God, creating images and all this negative, ungodly things, and forcing the entire people that he was over to follow these false gods because three men stood for God. He created brand new laws in the land that honored God. He put a First Amendment out that blows away the First Amendment of the United States. It was a First Amendment that said very specifically, let me tell you what, these three men's God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God, their God is God, and nobody should talk against him. And if they do, they'll be cut to pieces and their house will be taken down to shambles. Overnight, in a moment, when somebody was willing to go through something, when somebody was willing to stand up, not get into political maneuvering and networking and trying to throw all your chips behind some political party, just stand for God. Get the pornography out of your life. Get the junk off of your house. Get all the idols out of your heart. Get your life clean. Start living your marriage the way God says to live your marriage. Start bringing your home in order. Bring your business in order. It's time to say, you know what? I'm not going to do what everybody else is doing. Even if the consequences are seven times worse, and even if it costs me my life, I'm going to stand for God. It was so powerful. A man went from an anti-God type stance that he is God and he's going to create an image of himself, to all of a sudden acknowledging God. He made laws. Listen now, he made laws that everybody was going to have to allow the Jews, the God's people, to be able to worship ever how they wanted to and not to talk about what they're doing. Can you imagine if the church stood up again in America for God, not pushing their way? Because right now what you have, a lot of the people in the church are just, you know, trusting in their ability to force things instead of just standing for what's right. And they didn't do that. They just stood for what's right when everybody else is doing what was wrong. And don't worry about it. There will be a rat that's going to go tell on you that you're standing for what's right. And then it's going to cause the leaders to get furious. But then you're just going to have to trust God to do what he's going to do. But in the context of that, they changed the entire laws. They changed the constitution of Babylon. Think about it. They changed the constitution of Babylon in a moment's notice because they went through something. There's so many false doctrines being preached right now that says you don't go through something. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were to go through something today, people would say, obviously, they've sinned and something is wrong. Instead of saying, no, this is the epicenter of change that will change a constitution of a nation. This whole thing has been preached and twisted that Christians don't go through stuff. The thing is that we go through what everybody else goes through, but God delivers us in the go through. He changed the laws for them. And if that's not enough, when it looked like it was totally over for them, they were obsolete figures in the midst of the nation who decided to stand when everybody else bowed, who was only brought to the king's attention because of a snitch, who was facing death. And really, they really thought, this is over. I'm going to die. But, you know, God can, but maybe he doesn't. They were used by God. God used that moment in time. That obedience, that love and obedience to change Babylon. And he could do it. Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar's his servant. Quit dogging out the president and start realizing it's the church that has to do something. We got to stand for God. So that had to be it. I mean, what else could be done? God, this is totally amazing. Well, let me tell you what happened. At that one moment in time, the king goes and he finds these three men. Who he set up to kill and was shocked that they weren't dead. And he promoted them. He actually gave them a promotion. Think about it. He promoted them. He promoted them when he was going to kill them a few days earlier. I don't get no promotions at work. You don't go through squat. You don't stand up for God. Nobody knows you're a Christian at work. If they had to arrest you and take you before a grand jury and search for evidence, they'd have to let you go because they couldn't find enough evidence to find out you were a Christian. Well, it's just a private thing. Well, that's what most of the nation said, except for Shadrach, Meshach, these three men. And it's time for us to do that. It makes me think of, you know, a teacher in Texas that had to go through the very same thing. I'd go through the very same thing. We've all had to go through fires. But you know what? They told her when she was just a godly lady, and She's just standing up for God, doing excellent at her work as a teacher. And she begins to talk about Jesus at work, and they just corner her and tell her, don't bring Jesus up here. You can, and literally rebuked her for bringing Jesus up. They say, listen, we got Jews here.
Mm.
So they told her, you got Jesus is a Jew. You know, and it's just the devil taking all these people's mouths.
Mm.
And try to shut her up. Don't bring God up. Well, that's what it's going to boil down to, guys. It's going to boil down to, do you go to work and bow down like everybody else, or do you still stay faithful to God?
Mm-hmm.
When you go play basketball with your friends or you're hanging out with whatever, do you bow down to what they're bowing down to, or do you still stand for God? Mm-hmm. When you go to family that's familiar with you, do you bow down to what they're bowing down to, or do you still stand for God?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it boils down to, staying standing for God. And so what she did was, you know, that kind of just stayed in the atmosphere. But then as a visiting teacher, she's going around and she's with this one particular student, and this student's parents are divorced, and she lives with her mother, but not with her father. And her father has evil intentions. And so the father, accuses this teacher of something that wasn't true. Evil stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, can it get any worse? Can it get any worse? And so the enemy's wanting you, this is what the enemy wants you to say. Don't ever bring God up again. Don't ever stand up for God again. You think that's bad? That's only two. I got seven times worse than this. Mm. But you know what? She stayed faithful to God. She stayed faithful. They took her through the fiery furnace, and they're talking, rebuking her and saying, this is terrible. They're using her when all the teachers come together as an object lesson for what not to do. The accusation is criminal at the point of what they're saying, which is not true. And she held her mouth. She's like these three men. She did not defend herself, but she prayed and she sought the Lord and sought godly counsel. And even though when her conscience was burning and her heart was broken and she wanted so bad to just say, this is not right, she said, I'm going to trust myself to God. This is right. What I'm doing for God is right. And I'm not going to bow down to what everybody else is bowing down to. All of a sudden, after an extended period of fiery furnace, and her emotions and her life, and just, it was just consuming her life.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, God says, okay. And the father repents and acknowledges it was false accusation. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, everything that was there is not there anymore. All of a sudden, these very teachers that rebuked her for bringing up God were sitting with her over dinner and saying, you know, we did that ourselves. We talked, you know, and all of a sudden it's like their whole mindset switched overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're thinking, are these the same people that was going to kill me a few moments ago? Mm-hmm. And then not only that, they came and got her. They said, listen, we're looking for somebody to promote. And they promoted her over the very people that rebuked her.
Mm.
It sounds a lot like these three men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? She went through hell. She went through hell in that false accusation and all that fire of accusation. And I always say this, that, and she stayed faithful to God. She mm-hmm. didn't, but all they want you to do, this is all the devil wants you to do, doesn't matter how you do it, just do what everybody else is doing. Don't stand up for God. Don't have a marriage like God. Don't have a family like God. Don't have a business the way God would have, you know, don't, that's all he wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's like, just as long as you don't bring up Jesus, everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of that, you think, my goodness, but she went through hell. And that's the whole thing is, it's like so many whiners. It's like, you haven't went through anything. You don't go through anything. These three men were willing to go in the fiery furnace. She went through the fiery furnace of accusation. And let me tell you something. Accusation's evil and it's bad and it's just, but listen, that's just a matter of somebody's mouth moving and saying a lie. But what's worse than accusation is the fools that believe the accusers. It's like,
yeah.
You believe that? You know, and that's kind of like, you know, it's like, that's just, and the thing is, that's your time of testing when you're going to stay faithful. Are you going to, the second you start defending yourself, then you're moving in pride. The second you start explaining yourself, then you're moving in pride, and God resists that. So it's not going to be a moment where God's going to be able to, And you don't care whether you make it or not, right? Because that's the thing is, well, God can deliver me from this, but even if he doesn't. And she was just totally convinced, you know what? Even if I have to get a new field of work or get another job, work a different place, so be it. You know, I'm going to keep on standing. I'm going to be silent and let God work all these things out. And she prayed, and she prayed together with believers and trusted God and just kept her mouth shut. And now she's highly favored throughout the whole school system there in Texas. And she's a teacher of teachers.
Yeah.
And blessed and got a raise and a promotion.
That's
and
right.
All those naysayers, including like Nebuchadnezzar sayers, who were saying furious with you, all of a sudden is defending you and defending the God that you serve. Listen, what does America need? We need people who are going to stand for God. Listen, quit calling yourself a believer when you don't believe. A Christian is a Christ follower. A believer is someone who says, yes, he can deliver me, but even if he doesn't, I'm still going to follow him because I believe he's the only way for my sins to be forgiven. He's the only way to heaven. He is the hope of all mankind who actually turn to him. There is no other way. I'm standing for Jesus. It's time to stand, church, in America.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.